Thank you, Jeff. I have a question for Amanda. Can I get a copy of this information? That's a lot to cope with. I've been a patient since 1996 when I was hit by a car while riding a motorcycle in Los Angeles or Orange County. And so technically I'm a California medical marijuana patient originally, but I've spent most of my time in Seattle most of my life. I was arrested in 96, just before Prop 215, and I presented a medical marijuana defense. And over the course of 2 years, I had a trial and a couple of arrests, and we developed the medical marijuana law in Washington through partially through my ordeal as a testament to what is wrong with the prevailing picture at the time. After I was released from my legal obligations, I had been involved with the Green Cross patient co-op quite a bit there at that time, but I left Washington and became a member of the Oakland group with Jeff Jones, and I was one of the 14 patients who asked for permission from the high and mighty Supreme Court if we could please stay alive a little longer. And now we have Angel with these same a little bit more refined arguments, and we're still here hoping that we're going to ultimately prevail in the Supreme Court in the U.S., at least, if not that, we're going to get Congress to do their job and represent the people who support medical marijuana, which apparently is vast. I have some experience with the co-ops and the patient dispensaries, but my experience is a little bit more specific. What we have here with the co-op situation is a group of people who support each other. And the information that we've just seen shows a vast range of the applications of people who are providing cannabis and all of its associated features and applications. And there's a great social network here in California, which is very refreshing. In Washington, society is a little bit less open about this subject, obviously. I spent about 4 years here in the Bay Area and worked with Jeff a little bit and returned to Washington around 2000, just before the Supreme Court pointed their fingers at us and said, no, no, no. And things have gone a bit downhill from there. Politically, unfortunately, a lot of people, from my experience, officials and administrators have taken the news blips as policy flags, and where there was a growing openness in Washington during the prevailing Bush years earlier, conservatives had a much greater voice in policy, I think. However, Green Cross, where it is not technically legal under state law to dispense marijuana from one person to another, Green Cross is tolerated. Green Cross has boasted 2,000-3,000 patients at least. It's hard to say. It's a large group affiliated network. We have a co-op situation. The word co-op, of course, cooperative, comes from farming, where farmers join together to market and share their products. But in Washington, this is technically not allowable, even though it's tolerated. Instead, when I returned to Washington, I decided that we were going to have a medical marijuana group that would be entirely legal under the existing state law. There are flaws in the law, which I don't need to go into right now, except as contrast. But the real contrast I want to show here is the difference between a cooperative, which is a, you know, buyers and sellers, technically, network, and a cooperative, which is also a word derived from farming. But in a cooperative, in a collective, people don't join together to market their wares. They actually farm together. And so what we have with A collective is a bunch of patients who are trying to help each other. And our motto has been patients helping patients since about the year 2000 with the Lifeline group in Washington. The amount of social services offered that we're seeing in Amanda's information is wonderful. And again, it's refreshing that there is such a great social network. However, the practical fact of trying to be a self-sustaining group of medical marijuana patients without non-patients involved is quite a work-intensive ordeal. Let me explain also that the medical marijuana law in Washington is a bit more specific and limited than here in the state of California. In Washington, the list is short and not very sweet. If you are on the medical marijuana list in the state of Washington, you are probably very, very ill. And this, of course, leaves out a great deal of the people who are less sick here in California, who are patients but are not necessarily terminally or severely intractably ill, who are able to perform a lot of the functions which we simply don't have in the pool of patients in Washington. The people are generally very ill, and cancer and AIDS, of course, and intractable pain is technically unrelieved by other medications. That means you're very, very ill. So we have a more difficult time providing for the group, and therefore Lifeline itself is vastly smaller than any of the major 219 groups you have here in California. It's just not possible to, from my experience, have a self-sustaining medical marijuana group without a lot of strong, healthy people to do a lot of the work. There's a lot of dirt to mix. We're not hydroponic for the quality reasons. We find better quality and with soil. But, of course, it's a lot of work. And excuse me a second. And the problem is that people are sick. And when patients are trying to help patients, there's a lot of people who just can't make it. Great intentions are often not enough. You know, someone's got to water the plants every day. Someone's got to do all of the work that it takes to do that. And so what happened in about the year 2001 was the Green Cross Collective, a co-op, had received an order from the Seattle Police Department to cease and desist. They had been operating out of a residence and had received hundreds of complaints from the neighborhood, and they were forced to shut down for a month or so. At that time, my fledgling Lifeline group exploded to over 400 patients, which is not much compared to, of course, to the Oakland group, but it's an awful lot for the small staff that we had. It was too much. We couldn't really sustain the number of people without a large group of non-patients helping, and we were trying to remain strictly self-supportive. So over the course of a few years, the group has shrunk in size. However, the people who are involved in the Lifeline group are very, I won't say desperate, but that is the underlying factor. These are people who cannot grow for themselves. The theory of the Washington state law, of course, is that patients are allowed to grow for themselves. But giving someone the freedom and a couple of seeds does not allow them to get up out of a wheelchair or whatever their physical disability may be and perform all the physical operations required to produce marijuana. So, therefore, you know, it's a balance. It's a difficult situation. We need more people to help. But we do have the law, which is a factor that we always have to conform to. I wrote a book called The New Prescription, which outlines a lot of the science for medical marijuana. Up until the year 2000 when it was published, we're going to revise this book. It'll be out in a year or so. But the medical editor on this first edition, Dr. Francis Poterberg, was a patient also, and he helped establish the Lifeline group originally. He always said that he would never stop his work until he could get marijuana from a pharmacy on the corner. And, you know, that's noble, and there are great results happening here in California to help not just legitimize, but institutionalize, integrate the medical marijuana dispensaries in society, and I'm all for that. However, there's a broad range of motivations behind what we were doing here. For me personally, it's also about freedom. Freedom from the pharmaceutical companies and freedom from the pharmacies. And therefore, the law that we have... And therefore, the law that we have in Washington may be very difficult for dispensaries to operate as they do in California, yet it does offer the freedom. Washington State does uphold individual rights of freedom in a substantial way, which is why I live there. And we have this freedom if we can manage to do the work to produce the medicine. The small group of patients who are helping each other is surviving, and we do really appreciate the great margin of the spectrum of people who are doing the works here in California, because it sets a great example for us who are just a few people trying to struggle through. But we're networking, and we are duplicating, and we also provide, you know, we provide lessons, and we provide information, and we provide... lighting equipment and other supplies, and I'm trying for all to provide information, because the biggest problem, of course, is that no one knows how to grow marijuana. It's an art that you learn over the course of experience. I'm trying to help teach people how to take care of themselves. Of course, we all know the cliche, if you feed someone, you feed them for a day, but if you teach them to farm, you feed them for life. I'm offering a DVD series, which is in development now. This is the first disc, which is called The Miracles of Marijuana, and it outlines some factors of patient use, which are very important these days in negotiations with authorities over cultivation amounts, which is the big bone of contention. I've spent a lot of time in courtrooms for myself and for other people about the amount of marijuana involved. That's the biggest scary factor, is that you're allowing people to manufacture drugs in their own home. Of course, it's okay for the microbreweries, which are a big part of society in Seattle, but opening up for marijuana is a bit harder. We're trying. We have a little store that we're opening up, but the problem is, again, the difference between the patients and the recreational users who... you know, a bit jealous, but of course no one wants to pretend to be severely ill to get this right. But the police are a problem, because they're always trying to catch us. I've been under surveillance at my office for months at a time. Green Cross is inspected every month. They're, you know, they don't want to lose control of us. So it's a delicate balance, and we're trying to learn. We're trying to stay alive. That's our main motivation. We really appreciate all the support, and I'm hoping that we will hear from some of you folks at cannabismd.org. We need to hear about the news from all over California and all over the state, and stay in touch and work together. We're doing great works, all of us, and I thank you all.